Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. Ready for your next big move? The trip from the fridge to the couch. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
All right, I'm pleased to be joined by the FAI CEO, Jonathan Hill. Nice to talk to you, Jonathan.
Good morning, Nathan. How are you?
I'm very well. You're 4 months now, is it, into one of the toughest gigs in Irish sport? How are you finding it?
Oh, look, it's been great. I've thoroughly enjoyed the challenges up till now. It's clearly a huge honour to be the CEO of the FAI, and very humbling. I've enjoyed the process. It's been made more difficult, of course, by the fact that I've not as yet been able to get to Dublin. That remains very much on my agenda, so to do. But I have been introduced very much to the world of Zoom and Teams, and I have had literally hundreds of conversations with people and stakeholders connected to the game of football in Ireland.
I'm sure you knew what you were letting yourself in for and how busy this gig was going to be, but even right now, there's so much going on both on and off the pitch. In terms of on the pitch, the big news is Damien Duff's departure as one of Stephen Kenny's assistant. What's your understanding of why he decided to leave?
Well, look, I had a long and private conversation with Damien, and we talked about a whole range of issues. And I don't think there was one single issue that Damien was pointing to in relation to his decision. But he articulated very clearly his thoughts in relation to the association, above all else, in all honesty, but also in relation to Irish football. And he has taken his decision. I respect that. One thing I would say from that conversation is that Damien is completely 100% committed to supporting Stephen and the national team in the World Cup qualification process this year. You couldn't find an Irishman who is more proud more hopeful, if you like, in relation to success. So Damien took his decision. It was a private decision, and I respect that completely.
Did you try and convince him to stay?
No. I spoke to him some time after he's taken his decision. I think Damien is the type of guy who, once he's taken a decision, he sticks with it, to be honest. So that wasn't the thrust of our conversation. It was more about understanding just more generally his thoughts in relation to the FAI and to international football. And it was a fascinating conversation and a really useful conversation. So I'm pleased that we had it.
He clearly then had issues with the organization, and it's been widely reported that he had issues with the investigation into Videogate, as it's now known. And it's still a big story, Videogate, 4 months on. It's still probably going to dominate those press conferences in the build-up to the Serbia game. We've spoken to Conor Howerhan, to Daryl Horgan over the last few weeks, senior players who were in the room who felt there was no issue whatsoever, who are in the players' WhatsApp groups, who say it hasn't been an issue. When you look at how the fallout has gone and continued and at the time maybe undermined Stephen Kenny, do you have any regrets into how the investigation was conducted?
Look, first of all, to your point in relation to Damien, it was just one of many things that we talked about, and it wasn't a single overriding issue for Damien. Secondly, it was never an investigation. I felt that it was important for us to establish the facts, and it was simply a fact-finding process that I asked Gary Owens to support me with once we became aware of the issue at hand. And actually, that came via a UK-based newspaper. But once we knew that they were going to publish the story, we felt it was important for us to investigate the story, to look closer at the story. And that's what we did. And once we had the facts, I went back and talked to the FAI board I also personally had the chance to see the video. I was the only English person on that call with the board, if you like, to be able to say that I was not in the slightest bit offended by what I saw in the video. And the board listened, took those explanations, and we moved forward. And it's as simple as that. And I really want to move forward from it.
It's not quite that straightforward, because the statement did come out saying that the FAI is looking into this matter internally as a matter of urgency. So that does imply an investigation. It led then to several days of newspaper headlines, many of which were that Stephen Kenny's job was under threat. Stephen Kenny himself said that he thought maybe there was somebody in terms of the leak that didn't have the best interests of the team at heart. We've had Damien Duff leave, maybe not solely as a result of this, but clearly it was one factor within his decision. Could it have been dealt with differently?
Well, the reason why we're looking at it urgently was because of what I've just mentioned to you, in terms of the fact that we knew that press coverage was going to break, and that was the element of urgency. Because as hopefully a modern and progressive organization, I wanted to review the situation that we were being told about. So I think that those conversations took around 48 hours. I think it was done. It was difficult for me, obviously, because I was here in London rather than in situ, if you like. I think everyone would rather have not had to have gone through the process, but we did, and we did the process in the best and most expeditious way that we could do. We then spoke to the board as quickly as we could do, and the board took its decision, and that there was no case to answer, and we moved forward.
The leak itself and the emergence of the video, have you any idea how it actually came out to the public?
We don't know. We don't know how the how that UK-based newspaper got the story. But all we did know was that the facts that came on the back of that. So the answer is no, we don't know. As I say, we looked at all of the facts. We talked to all of the people who were involved, and we were very comfortable that there was no case to answer, and we moved on.
What about that line from Stephen Kenny then before Christmas, that it may have come from somebody who didn't have the best interests of the team at heart, maybe somebody within the organization? Is that a concern for you as the head of the organization, that going into this huge set of qualifiers, the first time the team have met back up, that everybody may not be singing off the same hymn sheet?
Look, there was no evidence of that, that there was one single individual who was involved in that part of the overall story. And my answer to you, Nathan, is genuinely is that I think that we've got past that story now. Stephen and myself have certainly got past it. He wants to focus on preparation for the March qualifier. I want to focus on giving him the best possible framework for that preparation moving forward. He's comfortable that he has that, and he has the support of both myself and the board, which he has completely. And so the focus now is on those March games and on a World Cup qualification process that is going to play out across one calendar year, which is pretty unique in of itself. Mm. So, look, we know that Stephen had to face any number of challenges across the back part of 2020, including injuries, suspensions, family bereavements and COVID-related issues. So none of that was easy for Stephen. What's important now is that we give him, as I say, the best possible opportunity to prepare the squad and the players for those March fixtures. And we have an incredibly difficult first away game in Serbia. So we all cross our fingers that we don't have too many injuries, and we get that preparation right.
Will he have a new replacement for Damien Duff by those fixtures? When's that expected to be announced?
Oh, look, with the conversations are ongoing, so as soon as we can let you know, we will let you know.
In terms of the women's team, good news this week that Vera Powell has committed to another couple of years and a chance to continue with the progress. Something that has come up consistently is around equal pay for the women's team. It came up last year and that there were going to be talks with the government. Vera Powell felt it was maybe still a little bit away, that because they aren't bringing in the same revenue as the men's team, that it may not be that quick fix. Where are you on equal pay for the women's team?
Well, look, first of all, I have to say that I was really thrilled that we signed our deal with Vera and we're able to announce that earlier in the week. I mean, I think Vera is not just a fantastic coach, and she showed that in relation to the transformation of the team itself, and they were so unlucky not to qualify for Europe themselves. But she's also she's an inspirational person, and I think she's an inspiration for women and girls across the whole of Irish football, and that's a real area of focus for us moving forward. But she's not just an inspiration for women and girls. I think she's an inspiration for the whole of Irish football. So, yes, that was that was an incredibly important moment for us. Vera talked actually last week in relation to a quality of approach, actually, as much as a quality of pay for women. And I'm very mindful of that. I'm very supportive of that. And we will be having conversations moving forward in relation to not just the women's process in relation to qualification for World Cup 2023, but also for the men in relation to World Cup 2022. So, look, we've also made some very positive announcements recently, commercial announcements in relation to SSE Airtricity, yeah, not just becoming the sponsor of the Premier League, but also the First Division, but also most importantly, the Women's National League. And I think that is a really important statement, and it's very much the direction of travel I want for women's football, not just financially in relation to making sure that it is financially sustainable and supported in the right way from the FAI moving forward, but also in terms of our desire to develop the league as well from a sporting perspective.
And I think Vera Powell is 100% correct. It's not just about equal pay. There's a far bigger picture there in terms of women's sport, but it is and would be a real statement that a decision has been made. And with the amount of government funding that's going, you can understand, I'm sure, the frustration of the women's team when they see the men who are already far better paid than them getting substantially more, regardless of the revenue they bring in. Like, can you give any sort of guarantee that there will be equal pay at some stage during your time in charge for the women's team?
Look, as I say, I am committed to talking with Vera and the players and to doing what we're doing already in relation to other areas of women's football. So even just last night, we announced that we are going to be broadcasting all of the Women's National League games on a streaming service this season. It will be available to everyone for free, which I think is another important step. So the answer is I understand how important the financial position for the players is across not just international football, but also domestic football within the Women's National League. So, yes, I will have those conversations with them, with the right people at the right time. And I hope that we will do right by women's football moving forward.
Just on the financial situation. So good news with SA, but no supporters back in the ground for the upcoming qualifiers, for the start of the League of Ireland season. In terms of the financial outlook for 2021, with an ever-changing situation with COVID, how important is it for the association to get crowds back into the stadiums? And also, how relevant is it in terms of Euro 2020 that crowds are allowed into stadiums by June and those four matches in Dublin?
Sure. Okay, there's two separate questions there. The first one is, look, our financial situation overall remains difficult. And along with other national governing bodies in sport in Ireland, is clearly not made any easier by the effects of COVID. We, as we have been doing and did across the whole of 2020, will follow the guidelines that are coming down from government and from the various health authorities. And we did really well in relation to 2020, making sure that the league seasons, for example, came to a conclusion and were played out safely. But we're also very, very mindful of a desire to get all of our football community and all of our grassroots players back to play as quickly as we can do. And just as importantly is our desire to get fans back to watch. We know that we are going to be playing behind closed doors for the League of Ireland start of season in March. But number one, we're really happy that we're able to get the league going again. I think that's a really positive sign, not just for Irish football, but for the whole of sport in Ireland. But yes, we have to deal with the practical realities of doing that behind closed doors. And we're already engaged with government at the highest level in relation to financial support for a 2021 that might see no fans, certainly in the first 6 months of the year. And you know, we thank the government for the support that they gave us in 2020, and along with other governing bodies, we're really hopeful that we will have a sensible conversation in relation to that COVID resilience funding for 2021 as well. Your second question was in relation to Euros. I've been talking proactively with UEFA and indeed with the other 11 cities in relation to the hosting of games. As you know, we have four games planned for Dublin and for the Aviva Stadium for the summer. UEFA obviously want to have fans in the stadia across all 12 of those cities. Everybody wants to see fans in the stadia for a tournament of the magnitude of the Euros. That's part of the the UEFA of tournament football, if you like. So we have now a period of time, 4 to 6 weeks, where we can work and are working really hard with government and with the health authorities to work out how many fans we can get safely into the stadium. And then UEFA will look at that, and they will look at everything in the round in relation to the other 11 cities as well. And they will plan what they believe is the appropriate way forward. But we are wholly committed to hosting our four matches.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, Jonathan. We'd love to chat to you a bit more in depth maybe at some time over the next couple of months. But thanks a lot for taking the time to join us on Off the Ball today.
That's my pleasure. Thank you, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Ready for your next big move? The trip from the fridge to the couch. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.